This is a solid, safe type of real estate project. 100% pre-leased, assuming 60% debt on loan to value. Existing cash flow that we can predict, that we know that we can bring down expenses and increase rents over time. And this is a capital preservation play.
Welcome back to the Investing with Purpose podcast, where we explore the intersection of success and significance. We discuss alternative investment options from our experience buying hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate, but most importantly, how we're using that business to impact people in a positive way to leave a legacy that matters. Let's get after it.
Welcome back to the Investing with Purpose podcast. My name is Stephen Libman, and we are going to talk a little bit about this project that we just closed on this week. So, number one, thank you to all of our investors who, of course, trusted us with their hard-earned money. Once again, we just bought 308 bed student housing complex at Louisiana State University. It was a $3 million acquisition, $15 million loan that we assumed at 4.24%. So score there, right? Everybody's asking me, hey, how are we dealing with high interest rate environments? Well, that's one way. Just assume an existing loan that has a great rate and term still left on it. You do have to bring a little bit more equity to the table. So the leverage is only 60%. We're only doing a 60-40 type loan. So usually, when people think about buying a home, they think about putting 20% down. We put 40% down. Now, what does that do? It does a couple things. One, it gives us a clear-cut answer out of the gate as to how we're going to pay the debt service coverage ratio. So DSCR is debt service coverage ratio, and that is how much over the mortgage are you paying, are you getting an income, right? So let's just use very round numbers here. Let's say my monthly mortgage is $1,000, but the income is $1,500, then I have a 1.5 DSCR, right? Debt service coverage ratio. The income is 1.5 times the debt service. And that's a really big indicator for banks on whether or not they want to lend on these properties because they want to know if they're getting paid. So when we're underwriting these deals, we got to make sure that we have a debt service coverage ratio. And then is there free cash flow to pay the investors, right? And then are we going to make money in the long run? So the underwriting process is super important in this. When you have fixed rate debt at low amounts, you know going in what your cash flow is. So a lot of variable rate debt, we've done it in the past. So have other people. And some people are still doing it, right? I got hit up a few times while I was just away this past week for new construction project. We're not really interested in doing new construction projects right now. Variable rate interest rates are typically connected to construction loans. So we don't want to put ourselves in that, what I consider a riskier position of having to deal with interest rate volatility. There's some risk associated with that, right? If we get into a loan right now and they continue to raise rates by another point, that changes the underwriting. So you have to be really experienced in making sure that you're controlling those costs, especially for debt service coverage. Okay, so 308 units. $15.7 million existing loan on it. We brought $11.6 million in equity to the table. So let's talk about some challenges. So every property deal has challenges. This one was no exception. There's so many good things that happened, but everybody could talk about the good things all day long. So here's a couple of things that happened. One, we got under contract. It was with our sponsor partner who's extremely well-versed in student housing. That's why we like it. Number one is our great partners is what makes our fund successful. So the experience and being able to say you have 20 plus years in this particular asset class with $250 million in acquisitions and exits. I mean, just these are the type of people you want to partner with. Not the easiest guys to find because there's so many new people in the space that to find that level of track record, you know, we have to go out and build a lot of relationships to do that. So number one, great relationship. Number two, aligns with our core values, meaning the five core values that we have in place, those guys know about and respect and will follow through with our core values and they align with theirs. We had due diligence that we went out and did and inspected all 308 beds and found some deferred maintenance that we needed to get a reduction on. So we went back to the seller and we asked them for a number and they said, yep, okay, no problem. Continue moving on. We're going to give you, I think it was $1.3 million, $1.4 million reduction. So that was great because that increases our cash flow and that increases our internal rates of return over time. So that was a big benefit as well. So we love that. You know, we had some challenges in terms of when we launched the fund and when we were closing this deal. We closed three deals at the end of last year in December, so just over 1,050 units. And then this deal was closing in May. But as we were waiting for the fund to launch, and we just didn't have enough investors that were talking to us. You know, I think one of the problems from switching from a syndication model to a fund model is that all of our investors are very used to us calling them up and saying, hey, we have a deal in the next 45 to 60 days. A fund is a little bit different because we want to be able to take commitments in prior to the deal closing so that we know we can execute on that deal. And we had a really good start out of the gate, and then it slowed down. I think there was some economic slowdowns. I think there was some volatility with the banks that people were getting a little bit nervous about. So this is all happening while we're raising the capital, bringing in the capital to put this deal into closing. And so we have to come up with us and our partners $500,000 of hard deposit money, which means we don't get it back, even if we don't close on time. So how do you make sure you get and close on time? You got to make sure you were talking to lots of investors, streamlining the process of getting them onboarded. And we have the commitments to execute on the deal. However, a lot of the commitments were coming through IRA rollovers, which takes time. So, you know, we just had to pony up the rest of the cash so that we could get the deal to closing. And now we'll still be able to bring investors in after closing to finish the capital call. So it was a little bit of, you know, controlled chaos because we have a pretty small team internally here to help onboard and investors. And we were onboarding, you know, probably 50 investors in the past 2 weeks. So a little bit of controlled chaos, but thank you for everybody that worked with us to get those wires in on time and get to the closing table. And then we're done, right? Friday, wires are coming in. Monday morning, they're going to close. Monday morning, I wake up very early and I go on a golf trip that's been planned for many months. So we went with three other investors of ours that also live in my area and we play golf together. And this is my first real golf trip. So I'm in the air, I land. We find out that the paperwork that I notarized and overnighted didn't make it to the title company in time. So they're asking me for my receipt with the tracking number so that they can close. Well, I don't have it. I'm halfway across the country. So, you know, trying to figure out what to do. So the title company did what they call a dry closing. Dry closing is basically where everything happens except for the funds moving. And the next morning I have to wake up across the country and go find a notary public to print, notarize, and then overnight again, the documents that didn't end up making it there. So long story short, we got everything done that we needed to happen and we are officially closed. We still do have some money to bring in for this and obviously for the rest of the fund. And we have a great pipeline of deal flow. So lots of good opportunity coming for the rest of the year. Really excited to get this project off the ground. We'll be putting up some pictures and photos and drone footage and things like that for this particular project. What I love about this project is LSU has been 5% year over year rent growth for the last 5 years. Now think about that. That's through COVID. Obviously, if you look up some of the LSU athletes, athletes are now allowed to get paid in the NCAA based on a couple of new rules, but they have some of the highest paid athletes in the NCAA at LSU. Is just driving a ton of enrollment. So we're already 100% pre-leased for next school year, which is unheard of, 5-6 months out. So really great metrics, really stable deal. Everybody, you know, this is not a home run. And what I mean by that, you know, nobody's retiring off of this deal. This isn't going to produce 300% returns. This isn't going to be producing 30% year over year returns. This is a solid, safe type of real estate project. 100% pre-leased, assuming 60% debt on loan to value. Existing cash flow that we can predict, that we know that we can bring down expenses and increase rents over time. And this is a capital preservation play, meaning our investors are still going to make their promised returns, right? Double digit returns while we're doing double digit giving. And that's incredible. And that's the type of deal that we want to do in this environment. We want to hedge inflation. We want to make sure that we're getting double digit consistent returns. We want to make sure that we are finding the right operators to operate the right deals at these burgeoning markets. Always the disclaimer, this isn't an opportunity to sell securities. We're just letting you know for our accredited investors what they are seeing for this particular project. So we're super excited about the project. You know, our investment ethos is not going to change. It is preservation of capital first. How do we not lose money? Return of capital second. How do we get my money back out of the deal? And then investment return on investment last. If we take care of numbers 1 and 2, we know that we'll take care of number 3. So really excited. Thank you all for all of you who jumped in and participated. I'm still getting text messages as we speak, like, hey, I'm glad you're back in town. I want to participate in the fund for these projects. So still lots of opportunity. I think we are about 25% subscribed on the entirety of the fund. So about 25 million of the $100 million fund that is launched. So we're hoping to bring in the rest of the 75 million by the end of the year and deploy that into really great projects. So if that's interesting to you, go to investingwithpurpose.org. Sign up for the investor club, partner with us, just take a look at the nonprofits that we're partnering with and how we're having an impact on the world while also creating legacy and generational wealth for ourselves, our families, and most importantly, for our investors' families. So thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys soon. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Investing with Purpose podcast. If you're finding value, would you leave us a review and share this with your friends? And go to investingwithpurpose.org to learn more about how to partner with us and to learn more about the nonprofits that we support around the world.